Well, good morning once again. Welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. This morning's sermon text is taken from the book of 2 Kings, chapter 18, verse 13. And it reads, "In the 14th year of King Hezekiah, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the fortified cities of Judah and took them." By way of introduction, today's sermon is a result of a homework assignment from one of Pastor James' advanced discipleship classes. And I just want to say these courses are fantastic. You know, there's a lot of work that gets put in them that he does, but they really do help you grow in the Word. And they also cause you to dig deeper into the lives of certain characters that we may come past. So I particularly enjoyed learning about King Hezekiah, so I pray that we can apply some of the things that Hezekiah did in his life to our own. So I want to entitle this sermon, "The Profile of a King." And I just want to begin reading in 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 18 through 1 through 5. And I also, just before I begin, I also put his story in the bulletin as far as where you can find his story in the other books as well. Oh, there it goes. Thank you, brother. Let me begin in 2 Kings chapter 18, verses 1 through 5. "Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, the son of Eli, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father David had done. He removed the high places and broke the sacred pillars, cut down the wooden image, and broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. For until those days, the children of Israel burned incense to it and called it Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor were before him." 3 points of application I want to bring about today. First, Hezekiah reformed the nation. Second, Hezekiah's 14th year, a season of tribulation. And third, Hezekiah's response in that season of tribulation. First, Hezekiah reformed the nation. Again, Hezekiah's father, Ahaz, was king of Judah. And Ahaz is portrayed in Scripture as an evil king. He did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord as his father David had done. 2 Kings 16:2. He influenced all kinds of sin and idol worship. He committed sacrilege against the temple of the Lord. So he was not basically a great influence over the nation, and nor was he over his son Hezekiah. But on the other hand, Hezekiah's mother, Abby, had a godly upbringing. And probably because we can assume that her husband was never around, because he's probably doing his own thing, well, her influence on her son, it stuck with her son. It took shape on him. And that's a great sidebar application for all of us who are in an unyoked marriage. You know, it could be a difficult situation because we should all be encouraged to press forward with our influence of God's ways upon our family. Because you just never know how the Lord is going to use you or who in your family would be saved through your example. Especially press upon your children faith, my friends, for they are your legacy. You know, introduce them to Jesus. You know, without Jesus, we are all lost. But he is the Savior that we all need. Why? Because we're all sinners by nature, by word, by deed, by action, whatever. We're all sinners in need of a Savior, and we can't get to God on our own through any good deed or any means of our own. So God loved us so much that He sent His only begotten Son. God Himself came down for us, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, something that none of us could do, and He exchanged His righteousness for our wretchedness and took our sins to the cross. He died for our sins. He took the punishment that we deserve. And then He rose on the third day, just as He said He would. Just as He said He promised. You know, and we can look forward to the rest of His promises as well. Because of His resurrection. Because of what He said He will do. That one day where He is, we will be as well if you place your faith and trust in Jesus. Now going back to Hezekiah, your example should hold a stronger influence over the bad example in your family, especially when the consequences are so in your face and they bear their thorns. And your child may think to themselves, you know, I don't want to be like him, I'd rather be like her. And I think that's what was the case for Hezekiah. So remember, if you're not influencing your children, then the world is. Be like Joshua 24:15, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Again, going back to Hezekiah, he was a godly person, and when he became king at the age of 25, unlike his father, he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. His love for the Lord overflowed into his royal life, which is another great point of application for all of us. Because so many Christians only demonstrate their love for the Lord on Sundays. Or their love for the Lord is only contained to the four walls of a church. But Hezekiah's love for the Lord demonstrated itself through the reforms he did for the nation. His love for the Lord overflowed in all areas of his life. And so should ours. And it should start at home, to tell you the truth. For Hezekiah became a major part on how he governed. He did things that no other king before him did. For instance, he removed the high places. He broke down all the sacred pillars. He cut down the wooden image and broke in pieces the bronze serpent Moses had made. And in case you're curious as to why would Moses make such a thing that subtracts worship from the one true God, well, this was made at a time when the Israelites in the wilderness complained and they lacked faith in God to help them through the wilderness. And as a result, God's judgment came against them. And it came against them in the form of serpents. And the serpents that bit the Israelites, many of them died. They died. And now as a shadow of Jesus' redemptive work, the Lord commanded Moses to make a bronze serpent, lift it up on a pole. And whoever was bitten by this snake, all they had to do was look up in faith at the bronze serpent and they were healed. This story is contained in Numbers 21, verses 4 through 9. And again, it's a foreshadow of salvation in Jesus. But again, this was considered an object lesson from God. And the point is that it takes an act of faith on our part in God's plan for salvation. Or in this case, it was His plan for their healing. And the bronze serpent on the pole was that object. You know, similar today, you might see a bronze serpent on a pole. It represents life and healing and deliverance and medicine. You can usually spot it on an ambulance or in a hospital. Sometimes there's two snakes looking at each other wrapped around a winged pole. I think they got that from this, to tell you the truth. Well, what happened over time was that the people, they lost their sight in its symbolism. And they made it an object of worship. So Hezekiah got rid of all those objects of false worship. And again, by way of application, beware that you don't fall into that same trap. Exodus 20, verses 4 and 5 reads, "You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God." And sadly, today you witness people on their knees worshiping before statues made by men. And the greatest example that I've come across is on Christmas time, when you go to La Salette and you see all the people on the stairs worshiping these statues. So don't lose sight of their symbolism. You know, even the crucifix. Do not worship the crucifix. It's a symbol. So Hezekiah, he also restored the temple, the house of God, which had become like a pig pen. It was not given the esteem or respect it had in prior days. Hezekiah also built back up the priesthood and reinstated the traditions such as the Passover and inherited Hebrew practices. Hezekiah basically empowered his people to overthrow their sin and their idolatry. Under his leadership, a much needed revival had started. Hezekiah prospered in all his works. Under his reforms, people were returning to the Lord, which is a great thing. Well, how can we apply this to ourselves? Well, think about it when people want to make changes to their bodies or they hire a coach. And the first thing, what does a coach do? He makes them get rid of all their junk food, empty out their fridge, their cupboards, get rid of all that garbage. And then the coach basically sets them on a new plan to develop better habits, to establish their goals. Well, friends, what spiritual reforms are overdue in your life? Whether it be less or more or something, that's for each of us to go before the Lord with. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Friends, God always takes the initiative to start something. What initiatives are you taking now? So the end result was that Hezekiah created a revival due to the reforms he made out of love and out of his honor for the Lord. And we can follow suit through spiritual reforms in our own lives as well. Second point of application is Hezekiah's 14th year, a season of tribulation. You know, as Christians, we all have a quote-unquote 14th year, a season of tribulation, whether it's caused on your own behalf or someone else's, whether it's outside our circumstances. Again, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." 2 Kings 18:13, which is our sermon text, "In the 14th year of King Hezekiah, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the fortified cities of Judah and took them. Assyria was becoming a major power at that time. And Hezekiah, out of fear of man, just knowing that all his fortified cities were taken, he decided to surrender in such a way that he thought he would still have power, and in hopes of turning away the enemy. So Hezekiah offered to pay tribute to the Assyrian king. It's kind of like when there is a bully in the school picking on the weaker kid, and the weaker kid has to give up his lunch money every day so he won't get beat up. So the Assyrian king imposed a fine on Hezekiah for 300 talents of silver, 30 talents of gold. It doesn't seem like a lot, but I guess it was. Now, 2 Kings 18, verses 15 and 16 read, "So Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasuries of the king's house. At that time, Hezekiah stripped the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord and from the pillars which Hezekiah, king of Judah, had overlaid. And he gave it to the king of Assyria." By way of application, again, my friends, Christian, pertaining to your walk, the enemy always seems to start small in order for you to give up something greater, greater of spiritual value, with the overall goal of influencing you to walk away from the Lord completely. Look how Satan started with Eve, planting a small doubt in her mind about God. Well, Hezekiah basically forfeited one of the things that he helped restore, the temple. He stripped it of all its value. He took something back that he did in honor of the Lord. And brothers and sisters, once the enemy has an opening, he will continue to find ways of attacking, getting you to surrender your Christian values. Beware. Once you concede to the enemy, more things will occur, and further you will walk away from the Lord. For instance, I'm always warning my daughter and my wife that if a situation ever occurs where someone is pointing a gun at you, and they're in a van and says, "Come on in, get in here, don't do it, scream, run, get away. Do not concede to the enemy, because more things will happen. Run." In Hezekiah's case, the Assyrian king was not satisfied with the tribute money, and he wanted full control over everything. So rather than taking over the land by force and destroying everything that would have to eventually be rebuilt, kind of like what Russia's doing with Ukraine, destroying everything, it all needs to get rebuilt. That costs money. Well, the Assyrian king would resettle people, moving them around from places like Samaria and so forth. This way, an unlikely rebellion would happen. Another thing Sennacherib did was that he sent his messages to Hezekiah's people to create a distrust in Hezekiah's leadership, using false accusations, confusion, doubt, comparisons, in order for Hezekiah's people to lead a rebellion against him. The same way Satan caused angels to fall away from the Lord, same way he works today. Also, the Assyrian messengers even tried to cast doubt in people's faith in the God of Israel. Will he really deliver us? Will he really deliver you from the Assyrian army? Now, 2 Kings 18, 33-35 reads, "Has any of the gods of the nations at all delivered his lands from the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of Sarephanim and Henna and Iva? Indeed, they have delivered Samaria half from my hand. Who among all the gods of land have delivered their countries from my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem from my hand? That's why, friends, mind the company you keep. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Friends, subtle concessions that go against your Christian values can definitely lead to a confusing testimony and begin the process of walking away from the Lord. And the last point of application is Hezekiah's response in a season of tribulation. Well, I kind of mixed Hezekiah's poor response in the last point as way of example of what not to do, because again, we all fall at times. We all fail at fully trusting the Lord with every circumstance, and that's what Hezekiah did. But Hezekiah realized his mistake, and he was so grief-stricken that he torn his clothes. This was an outward sign of a repentant heart. And he covered himself with sackcloth, which was also a sign of mourning and repentance. But he turned from his ways of trying to make things work out to God's ways. And that's what happens when you fully trust in the Lord. You know, then it says that he went into the house of the Lord. He went to pray. He needed some time alone with the Lord, just as we all do. Then he went, Brother Scott always emphasizes, we need to keep our accounts with the Lord short. You know, don't let things drag out. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Second thing that Hezekiah did was he included the family of God for counsel. You know, he spoke with the elders and the priests. He spoke with the prophet Isaiah. Even though Hezekiah was king, he had enough humility to seek godly counsel from others. Friends, God has blessed us all with different gifts in order to help people with different weaknesses or different needs. We are all part of the family of God. And let us not become prideful to share our own weaknesses with others. James 5:16, confess your trespasses to one another that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man avails much. Encouragement is important. We all need it. Well, Hezekiah remained faithful to the Lord in prayer, and the Lord delivered Hezekiah and his people from the Assyrians. 2 Kings 19, 35-36 reads, and it came to pass on a certain night that the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when people arose early in the morning, there were the corpses all dead. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went his way, returned home, and remained in Nineveh. Later on, we read that Sennacherib's sons would later kill their father. And also Hezekiah would also become terminally ill. However, the Lord granted Hezekiah's prayer and added an extra 15 years to his life. But in conclusion, like Hezekiah, we all miss the mark for the Lord's expectations. However, like Hezekiah, continue to make reforms. Continue to honor the Lord with a godly influence. Continue to go before the Lord in all circumstances. And always remain humble, because this life is never problem-free. Let's pray. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we'd like to thank you, Father God, for the example of King Hezekiah. Father, I pray that we can learn from him. And I pray that we apply the things that He did in His life to our own lives. Because, Father, there always will be a 14th year, a season of tribulations in all our lives, just as You said. But, Father God, help us release any pride that is in our hearts. Help us to continue to look directly up at You and go down on our knees in prayer and speak with You as far as what we should do with these circumstances that arise in our lives, these tribulations, Father. Help us to dig deeper into Your Word for the answers that You provide, Father. We thank You, Father, for the Word that You have given us, for instruction, for reproof, for correction. We thank You, Father, for all these things. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.